This is the Deliberate Talks weekly podcast, powered by the Pixelated Egg Digital Ventures. Tune in every week to learn something new about digital marketing and entrepreneurship. And now, over to the voice of your host, Dakshin Adyantaya. Enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to an excellent week and quite literally the context for today's show. And when it's a conversation about food, nothing can be better than that on a Monday, right? This is the Deliberate Talks podcast and I'm your host, Dakshin Adyantaya, who along with Loina Rogers are gearing up to talk about the need for the right nutrition for children. But before that, here are some interesting stats about the category. Did you know the global infant nutrition market size was valued at $34.2 billion in 2018 and is estimated to reach $61.6 billion by the end of 2026? Also, 33% of children under age of 5 from developing countries have deficiency of vitamin A that causes low immunity and night blindness. Also, personalized nutrition through apps, testing kits, and programs is growing at a faster rate of 15%, states Markets and Markets survey. And now, extending this conversation with our guest today, who's a nutrition detective and a food as medicine lifestyle mentor. She was a marketing professional who turned into a mompreneur inspired by her son's severe food allergies and asthma and went on to create the Excellent Breakfast Company. Here is Loina Rogers. Hello, Loina. Welcome to the Deliberate Talks podcast. How are you doing today?
Hey, Jonathan. I am doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
It's great hosting you. And before getting into this excellent world of your venture, enlighten us about what is a nutrition detective and food as a medicine lifestyle mentor. You know, this is not a term that you normally come across on a daily basis. And it's very fascinating to hear the science behind it. So please enlighten us.
Yes, yes. So thank you for asking. A lot of people just, you know, they just go, they're like, okay, nutrition detective. But nutrition detective is a title that I grew into because of my, you know, my inquisitiveness about nutrition and how the body reacts and performs when you put chemicals in it versus real food. Mm-hmm. And so food is medicine lifestyle mentor means that I actually help my clients learn how to use food as medicine. So depending on how your body feels, and because I focus on three areas, brain health, digestive health, and immune system support, mm-hmm. if you have issues in these three areas, then I can help you kind of connect with your body, know what your body is asking you for. And then you would give your body that respective food that actually, you know, either heals digestive issues or actually helps your adrenal glands mm-hmm. or may even help you with focus or resting at night. So I really educate my clients on how to use food as real life medicine to help the body feel better and help it to do what it was designed to do.
Mm. Right. Well, and how long has it been for you in the industry? When did you decide that you really want to do this? And it's like a lot of people that you ask, what do you want to do? And people have certain common answers, but this seems to be like a very thought through decision. So how did you come up with the fact that you wanted to become a nutrition detective?
Well, actually, my journey actually began about 9 to 10 years ago. It actually started with my oldest son, who I call Groovy, but his name is Wesley. He was diagnosed with bad food allergies as a baby. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it just came to the point of having to rush him to the emergency room because of a severe allergy and asthma reaction. And that literally changed our lives because I did not have any experience being around anyone who had asthma or allergies. And so I was really thrust into the world of understanding what that meant, how to feed a child differently, because of, you know, how his body was responding to respective foods. Mm-hmm. And so my journey began, you know, in 2012, but I started the company in 2017. Wow. So, yeah, so that's, you know, kind of our history.
Okay. And what qualifications are really required for one to become a nutrition detective or a food as a medicine lifestyle mentor?
So I am self-taught. So I am self-taught through experience of my son offering, you know, these nutritional information and, you know, techniques and tips to friends and, you know, who were parents, and then some parents in my community. And then, you know, finding the success that it has led to let me know that I was really onto something, and how more and more parents were experiencing, you know, what it is that I went through. And I was thinking like, wow, you know, only if they knew to read the nutrition labels, right? To take a look at what's in the food, learning what inflammatory foods are, you know, which goes back to how I became a nutrition detective. It means that I look deeper. I look in places where people normally would not, especially when there's a reaction, an external reaction to the body, where the body is actually trying to ask for something, or it's trying to, you know, tell you something and you can't quite figure it out, or you're misdiagnosing, if you will, what's going on. And so, but I am though, I'm a mom first. And so that's what, you know, drove me into this profession. And then secondly, I am certified. I'm certified in reversing and transforming and preventing chronic illnesses using food as medicine modalities. So I do have a certification with that, learning how to reverse chronic diseases.
Wow, very interesting. And you know, you spoke about the nutrition label there, and that kind of is very misunderstood by a lot of people and misread by a lot of parents for sure. But just enlighten us, or what's the most common thing that brands hide from a nutrition label point of view? And you know, the common example that we talk about is like the sugar-free aspect of it. And you know, the nutrition labels normally hide that in some form and give a very different name to sugar. But, you know, tell me about it. Have you come across the most common ones there, and which are they, and which are the parents not aware about?
Yes. So as it relates to sugar, it's really, you know, unfortunately, it's like the bitter truth, right? Mm-hmm. And so a lot of things that parents don't know to look for, you know, if it says, you know, no sugar, or, you know, low sugar or low fat, right? Because I was talking to someone else the other day, and we were talking about the trends and the fads, you know, and how do I feel about that? And as it relates to sugar and sugar addiction with kids, it's just amazing, you know, the different names that they've given to sugar now.
Right.
And so you really have to be able to be on the lookout for that and make sure that you understand and know what you're looking for, because even though it may not say sugar, you know, it may have other names, fructose, it may have aspartame, it may have, you know, other terms like the artificial colors, the blue 1, 2, the green 3, the artificial flavors, which is the caramel coloring, sucralose, sodium benzoate, propylene glycol. These are, you know, they are artificial flavors that are approved by the FDA. However, the effects that they have on the child's brain, and the brain is constantly growing, you know, it's so bad. And then when the parent see the outcome on the other side of, you know, the child not being able to sit still, or the child not able to focus in the classroom, or, you know, they're irritable, right? So all of these different artificial flavors and colors and processed chemicals do actually have an effect on the, not just the brain, but the digestive system, right? It then feeds the bad bacteria, and it makes the body crave, you know, more of the artificial stuff. So that's when we start seeing the cravings. You know, the child only wants, you know, that all white diet. They only want French fries. They only want pasta. They only want the foods that have that hidden sugar, right? And so, you know, the parents are like, you know, why won't they eat, you know, veggies? Can't get my kid to eat more veggies. What is wrong, you know, with my child? Well, you know, if we dig a little deeper and we take a look at what they are eating and what they are craving, we are actually looking at a, you know, basically the perfect breeding ground for creating unhealthy habits and unhealthy cravings for food that is junk, that's not feeding their brain, their digestive system, or their immune system. And then we see the outward expression of, you know, lack of focus, upset stomach, constipation, right. Every time they, go out in the public, they're catching something, right? It seems like their immune system is weakened. Mm-hmm. And so the more sugar you put in the body, you're actually weakening the immune system. You're causing the immunity to be lowered. And so, just more headaches for parents, just more frustration. But right. if we just dig a little deeper, and look at what's in there and know what the natural sweeteners that are actually more advantageous to the blood sugar level, that's, where the parents need to take a deeper dive and, they'll know, okay, yes, this is something I can give to my child. It's not going to raise their blood sugar. And there are natural fruits, that are actually, help to regulate the blood sugar and don't cause blood sugar spikes. Right. So that's basically the thing that's going on with sugar.
And in all this, while, you could have made a complete career out of being a nutritional detective and medicine lifestyle mentor, how did you decide that you had to get into entrepreneurship or get into becoming a mompreneur and start Excellent Breakfast Company? So how did that come into the picture and why the name Excellent Breakfast Company?
Well, I chose the name Excellent. It was actually given to me by God in a dream. So I knew I wanted to start with breakfast. It is the most important meal of the day. Mm-hmm. And I focus, my main clients are parents, and helping their children. And so, I help with unhealthy picky eating habits, behavior, and focus in the classroom. And so I started with breakfast because a lot of times parents say their child does not have an appetite. They don't want to eat or, all they want is sugar. Mm-hmm. And so the Excellent Breakfast Company, again, like your company, right? The mm-hmm. egg is the whole, right? When you look at what's going on in the egg, I just did a play on the word of excellent. I knew I wanted mm-hmm. it to be, excellent services, excellent nutrition, bringing parents excellent nutrition literacy information where they could actually understand what was going on in their child's body when they feed mm-hmm. their child different foods. And so I wanted to make the connection to breakfast and academic success. So that's where the excellent comes into play. And breakfast because, it's the most important meal of the day. And if we can start off with breakfast, it even affects even the circadian rhythm in terms of when the child's body will calm down and go to sleep. Mm-hmm. So that's how it came about.
And what about the entrepreneurship journey? Why did you jump into the whole aspect of entrepreneurship?
Well, entrepreneurship was definitely something that I knew because I was able to do it. I knew that I could share with other parents how I did it. And then when you're working for someone else, right? It's mm-hmm. like, okay, I need to make this amount of money, right? And I can't do it specifically, working for someone else, right? And so I knew that the information and the knowledge that I had was valuable. And so I said, why not put a value and why not put, go ahead and, just put it out there, right? People are like, yeah, I pay, for you to mentor me and get this information because I don't have the time, right? So parents don't have the time. And so since I've been, swamped and thrown into this world of homeopathy and understanding and reading all of this, yeah, it's kind of like, my years of trial and error, my years of, learning this information is worth something, it's valuable. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times the information I provide is going to be a bit deeper than, even what their doctor will provide because I'm, showing them how to do it. I believe in sustainability, right? Showing my clients how you can do this without me. So that's how, my goal and, helping them to become as confident as, versed in this particular language of nutritional deficiency as I am. Mm-hmm. And so that, they can pass it along. So I was like, I'm going to build this into a service that others can benefit from and just keep it growing. Right. And so that's, entrepreneurship was like, the finances, the experience, the years of experience, the knowledge. And, you know, basically, you know, people telling me, yes, I will pay. I want to know because I don't have time to learn this. So, you know, and if you have all the information I need, and if you can show me, you know, what I'm doing wrong, I would totally pay for that. So that's why.
And your recommendations do go beyond eggs for breakfast, right?
Absolutely, because ironically, my son is actually allergic to eggs.
Okay, wow.
What is powerful about that? Look, and he's the whole inspiration behind the company being started. But what is powerful about that is we recently had a new allergy panel test done on him. Mm-hmm. And my son, you know, he was eating, you know, boiled eggs every morning. He was making them for himself. And mm-hmm. according to his scratch test, he's allergic to eggs, the egg whites and the egg yolks. At first, it was only the egg whites. Wow. But now his test came back and said that he was allergic to egg whites and egg yolks. Now, here's the thing. When he eats them, he has no reaction whatsoever. So the pediatric allergist doctor said to me, he said, "So you believe in food as medicine, huh?" And I was like, "Yeah." I was like, "Yeah, I practice it. You know, I share it with my clients. Yes, you know, I've had success." So after, you know, this was before when we first sat down. And then after he did the scratch test, he said, wow, he was like, you know, he's allergic to eggs. He's allergic to almonds. You know, he's going down the list of telling me everything he was allergic to. And I was like, well, that's interesting. He eats those things and has no reaction whatsoever. And he was like, well, whatever you're doing, mom, keep doing it. He was like, because it's working. He said, because, you know, this is where, you know, sometimes the lab work doesn't line up with reality. Mm-hmm. And so it's ultimately the parent's responsibility, you know, to learn what your child is allergic to and or reduce the inflammatory response, right? So you build the body up so that it can actually fight, right? Or do what it was designed to do. And so that's what, you know, I specialize in. You know, I pride myself in being able to teach parents how I've done it, you know, and how you can do the same thing, right? And then knowing when you see your child with a runny nose, what does that mean, right? The gallbladder is sludge. A lot of people don't know that. So how do you jumpstart the gallbladder to, you know, get those toxins moving out of the body? Mm-hmm. So teaching all of those things is, you know, what is amazing and sharing with other parents.
Right. You know, there's a saying that moms are always right. And because your TG is parents, and it's because it's parents, and, you know, parents normally think that they know the kind of nutrition their kids need, but of course they don't understand the aspect of allergies and how the body reacts to it. And then there's actual science of nutrition that comes into the picture. You know, just for understanding, until there's a time of concern, parents would never follow it or come to a nutritionist. How do you see this differently? Do you see parents coming to you in time of concern, or do they actually come to you to make it as a part of their daily lifestyle because they're not sure or they don't have time for their kids with respect to planning the nutrition?
It's interesting you say that because, yes, most of the time parents are coming to me because there is an issue. So I am a problem solver and I'm okay with that. I'm excited that, you know, I get to be the conduit.
Right.
So yes. So most of the time it will be where there is an issue and the doctor's orders have not worked. The things that they've tried have not worked. And so it does take a plethora of techniques and tips and strategies to get to the point of success sometimes. And so if parents have tried one thing, you know, yeah, then they're open. You know, at that point, they're like, I'll try anything. So yes, they are coming to me in the moment of frustration, right? They're, you know, what they are currently using is not working. And so, yes, it's normally their pain point. You know, they are at the point where, you know, they don't know what else to do. And so I'm definitely okay with that. I'm open to that. I welcome that because that's when you're kind of, you know, you're open. You want something to work, right? And so changing their perspective around it and helping them to see how the body is operating and responding and why it's responding in that manner. It's enlightening. It's a wonderful thing to, you know, bring that awareness to parents and, you know, helping them to understand what the body is saying. So it was interesting when you said moms know, moms automatically know how, you know, they know what's great for their child. And yes, we do know what's, you know, great for our child. We also have that intuition, you know, that something is just not right. We also, you know, have that feeling of there is another answer, right? So we keep going until we find the answer that satisfies us. Mm-hmm. And so my job is to empower parents with that information, nutritional information, and also nutritional deficiencies, right? Mm-hmm. So the nutritional deficiency will show up in the external outbreak or episode or, you know, reaction to say, hey, I need calcium. I need magnesium. Right. Give it to me, right? Or mm-hmm. The brain may be saying, I need fat, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, giving our kiddos, you know, certain foods that are, you know, low in fat, you know, may not be what the body is asking for. And so I teach parents the signs to look for, right. You know, and the moments in which the body actually needs fat and what kinds of fat. So, you know, there's the nutrition detective coming out again. So yes. So they normally come to me at the point of frustration, pain, out of ideas, don't know what else to do. Mm-hmm. Yes, the doctor's orders are not working, and I'm okay with that.
And they might be going all praises for you once you solve their problems.
Right.
And you know, one of the banners on your website, I think it features your son.
Yes. Awesome. That is Wesley. Yes. Yes.
And it states to eat is necessity, but to eat smartly is an art. How underrated is the statement, and primarily, why do you think it's an area of concern today?
It's an area of concern because, unfortunately, we as parents are cleverly targeted, cleverly marketed to, because I think they kind of bank on the fact that you're not going to flip the box. Mm. You don't care, really, you know, what's in it as long as, you know, well, you care, but, you know, say, for example, you know, when you're in a hurry, right? And you need to grab something for your child, right? Okay, you're going to pick up what the child's used to, or you're going to pick up something that you know your child will eat. Now, whether or not it's going to lead to a blood sugar spike, that's not of concern right now. You just want to pick up something that is going, you know, your child's going to eat, and you can get them fed and get on with your day and do all the other, you know, responsibilities that you have to get done. Mm-hmm. So it's just, you know, having to get them to understand, like, okay, this is the road we need to go down. And, you know, helping them to understand that, yes, we can eat or to take out, we can, you know, cook at home. But when you go and purchase the food, what are you purchasing, right? Where is it being sourced from, right? What kind of sugar, what kind of sweetener is being put into the product? And so if the parents can look a bit deeper, that's when, you know, they can say, okay, I see that this is less expensive, but it's not more healthy for my child. It's not more healthy for me, right? So we're slowly, you know, when we're buying the convenient, low-priced items, foods that, you know, seem like they're just, you know, fine, you know, oh yeah, I can cook this and heal, my child will definitely eat this, right? It kind of, you know, gives you that, okay, I've checked that box. Yep, got that done, right? But we don't foresee the issues down the road, the chronic issues that we're slowly feeding into, as opposed to, you know, seeing how we can nourish their body so that later on in life, you know, we lessen the chances that they'll actually, you know, chronic illnesses and, you know, be able to recover from different kinds of issues that they may come into contact with. So it's important because parents really have to just look deeper because we are, like I said, cleverly marketed to parent. They know parents don't have a lot of time. And so they have to, you know what they're looking for, know what to look out for, what to ditch and switch. Right. So, yeah. Did I answer your question?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And you know, another aspect of this is nutrition-based services are always expensive. Nutrition in general is very expensive, right? When it comes to a conversation on finances and managing nutrition affordably, what are your recommendations that you give to people?
Yeah. So if finances are an issue, I always recommend. So say, for example, there's a lot of, you know, conversation around buying organic, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, people may say, okay, but organic food is so expensive. And so what I recommend is, number one, look at, if you don't know what the Dirty Dozen is, the Dirty Dozen is a list of fruits and vegetables, produce that is safe to buy organic or not organic. Mm-hmm. And so because your plate should actually consist of, half of your plate should actually consist of fruits and vegetables, if nothing else, right? Produce is inexpensive. That's what you should be eating the most of anyway. Mm-hmm. The other things that are processed are more expensive. So if you're buying fruits and vegetables and beans, organic beans, actually the price tag on that is not expensive. Mm-hmm. And so it becomes expensive when you get into the areas of, like they say, make sure you're shopping the perimeter of the grocery store and not the aisles where the processed food is. Mm-hmm. So if you stay on the outside, you actually, it's not as expensive. And then when it is expensive, then you need to think about your portions in terms of meat protein. If you're consuming meat, actually you only need 3 ounces of meat. So buying a pound is too much, or mm-hmm. actually a pound should last you longer than 1 week because you only need to eat 3 ounces of beef right. once a week if you eat beef. Right. And then you want to eat the grass-fed beef. So I believe in making it count, right? So if mm-hmm. you're going to eat beef, make sure it's grass-fed, grass-finished. And then, right, that 3 ounces that you've eaten, it's actually going to have omega-3s. It's going to have the nutritional value, the zinc, the iron that your child's body needs. And it's going to actually manifest and help the body as opposed to just causing more deterioration. So in the body and causing, you know, chronic illnesses and things like that. So choosing foods that are organic in your produce, your vegetables, your fruits, shopping the perimeter of the grocery store to make sure that you're getting close to the earth as possible. That's what's key. So all the other things that we're buying, like the chips and the, you know, the breakfast cereal, no, you can actually have a salad for breakfast. Mm-hmm. But if you're cooking from the earth, if you're eating your fruits and more fruits and vegetables, and you know, when you're buying your meat, if you're eating, make sure it's well sourced, that's when you'll notice that the price is not as expensive and the food lasts you longer. So wow. I believe that's what it is.
Right. Wow. And I want to get into another conversation with you, which is a little more, far more concerning from a child's lifestyle, especially a teenager, to be more precise. In this world of keto, size zeros, and Instagram influencers, mm-hmm. you know, children are already influenced by the way they look, dress, and more specifically, eat. You know, what's your opinion about it? And as a parent, what are some things to be concerned about with this kind of a lifestyle?
Well, I would say, as it relates to trends and, you know, keeping up with the Joneses, if you will,
right?
You know, trying to do what someone else is doing, you know, I would definitely encourage teenagers, parents of teenagers, just try to help them to understand that, you know, everyone's body is different. Everybody's body is different. Mm-hmm. And so keeping up with just a healthy lifestyle is what you want. More so than trying to, you know, get on the keto or get on the paleo, right? Because mm-hmm. until you really understand what your body is saying, I mean, it even comes down to, you can now get your DNA tested that will tell you whether or not a specific gene has expressed itself correctly. And you can actually lose weight like you were, you know, like you want to. There are genes in our body, you know, that may tell you, okay, your liver, you know, it doesn't detox correctly, or your body actually holds on to environmental pollutants longer than someone mm-hmm. else's body who doesn't have a variant in that DNA gene. And so getting blood tests, that is so important, because that's what's going to help you understand what your body is doing internally on a cellular level. And so I really believe in, you know, getting to know the body internally, you know, on a cellular level, getting blood work done, going to your doctor, requesting, you know, even blood work specific testing in terms of the nutrition level, vitamins, minerals, things like that. So you'll know for sure, because trying to do what they see on Instagram, trying to do the latest fad of what's, you know, the keto or the gluten-free, unless your doctor has told you that that's what you should do, you may be causing more harm to your body, definitely for teenagers. Healthy looks different on everybody. That's another thing I say a lot. I think that's key.
Right, right. Wow. Very nicely put. And it is a very important conversation to have at this point of time. And you know, I want to conclude this round with also something that you offer. You host a lot of webinars and do a lot of masterclasses. Tell me a bit more about the Healthy Kids course. How is it designed? What are some of your webinars and what are some benefits for parents in order to attend this and why they should be a part of it?
So with the Healthy Kids course, this is a 6-week program that I have. I have a 6-week program and I have a 6-month program for parents who really, you know, want that one-on-one support on a longer term basis. So I have 5 pillars that I work around. And I really like to highlight what the parent gets and then what the child, you know, the benefits for the child. So say, for example, you know, in the area, getting your kid off of sugar, right? So for the parent, in pillar 1, we would focus on like the brain. And then for the parents, it would be, you know, they get to stop catering to their child's picky eating habits. They will learn how to prepare new recipes that their child will be open to trying. And then for the child, their palate will be open, right? So they'll actually begin to try different foods, more variety. And then in their, like, say, for example, if they had issues with a child having temper problems, temper tantrums, or being angry, we would teach the parents how to calm the child, right, through the brain. They would have that one-on-one lifeline support, you know, by having access to me, being able to call me or text me, to understand, okay, when your child is being extremely difficult, what steps do you take? What foods can you feed your child in the moment that will actually deliver the right nutrients and minerals to help the nervous system to calm down? And then for the child's benefit would be that they would actually have the ability to articulate what's upsetting them or what they need. So sometimes, you know, we notice when kids are upset, you know, they're crying, you know, we call it like the fight or flight mode, right? They can't really think. Right. So getting the child to calm down and articulate what the issue is so key. It's so powerful. And so we can do that using food as medicine. And that's my first pillar, which is brain health. The second pillar is digestive health. And with this, we think about kind of constipation issues or upset stomach that the child may have. And so with the digestive system, I love to talk about the gut-brain connection. And that's where the second brain actually has more nerve endings that go to our first brain than any other organ in the body. And so I help parents understand how we can really remedy and really calm and soothe issues that are going on from an emotional standpoint, from you know, constipation, upset stomach issues, digestive issues that may be going on in the child's body by healing the gut. So with this, the parents would learn techniques to save them time, to save them money on doctor's visits and, you know, buying over-the-counter medication that probably isn't working anymore. And then the child, they would, get relief from upset stomach and cramping issues and, you know, uncomfortable bowel movements. And then the parent, you know, if it's an upset as far as, you know, the child is overly emotional at some time, you know, the parents, they can stop feeling so stressed and lost and not know what to do. So in the digestive area, I would give them the tools that they need to work through the moment of frustration. And then with the child, they'll be able to articulate, you know, what's going on, and they'll know what they need to be happy and have a good day. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then pillar 3 is immune system support. So, you know, right away, the first thing comes to mind is runny noses, cold symptoms, right? They're always picking up bugs, you know, their immune system seems to be so vulnerable. And so parents, we normally freak out when, oh my gosh, this child is sick. That means I have to take off days at work. you know, now I have to use my PT time. You know, I can't go on a real vacation. So if a parent knows how to do this, they know how to keep the body strong, keep the immune system boosted, they can now take a real vacation. They can, you know, they don't have to use their PT or their, you know, their personal time or their sick days. And then for kids, you know, they can excel in the classroom. They'll be in the classroom more, right? They'll be more attentive, more focused, and improved attendance in the classroom at school because they're not always sick. And then my last two pillars are very customizable, as I do offer other services. But two of the more popular ones are nutrition label literacy, which is switch and ditch, right? So what are you really feeding your child? And so the parent, for them, their benefit would be they can quickly identify the ingredients that are in the food, and they will become a more savvy shopper in the grocery store. And then kids, they'll actually be exposed to and aware and know what real food look and tastes like. And then lastly, my fifth pillar is my virtual cooking class. So teach parents and kids the art of creating fun, easy, and tasty meals. So with this, the parent benefit, they get, you know, to learn new recipes. They get to learn tips and tricks on how to get their kids to eat vegetables that they actually cook. And so for the kid, lastly, for the kid, their benefit would be, you know, their appetite is increased. They will begin to expand their palate for new foods and flavors. And yeah, they will actually help cook the food. So because they're participating, they normally will want to taste what they cook. You know, it helps them to be more independent and, you know, be able to speak about foods that they like, flavors they don't like, whether they like crunch, whether they like softer foods. So it really opens up a great line of communication and a sense of independence for mm-hmm. children, incorporating the virtual cooking class.
Now, there's so much of variety there. It's almost like... It's almost like a buffet there of breakfast.
It is. It is. That's why it's a lifestyle change. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful, wonderful. That's amazing. And that's a great round of answers there. And that concludes our first round of questions. Time to lighten up the mood. We're going a little more candid. And This is the rapid fire round of questions. So are you ready for this?
I think I am.
Okay then, Loina, what's your favorite dish?
My favorite dish. Well, I would say cuisine. So I can't say favorite dish because it probably depends on the day or the mood, as I do eat according to how my body is feeling. So, but if I had to choose a cuisine, I would say Mediterranean. And anything as far as a dish, I would say anything that includes green leafy vegetables, I'll say. Green leafy vegetables with some crunch.
Okay.
So a salad. I guess I would say a salad then, huh?
Okay. Then that brings me to, how do you like your eggs served?
Oh, I love my eggs scrambled with green onions.
Wow. That sounds tempting. Your most popular or most loved recommendation by your customer that you have received?
My most loved recommendation. Let's see. Okay, now you're going to make me go to my Facebook reviews. I love them all. Let me think. Okay, so, well, I guess for me, let's see. Probably the one where a lady said, your recommendation has changed the whole trajectory of my household. Wow. And then another one said, when she came to my conference, she learned some things that she was able to implement right away. And she knew some changes that she needed to make. And so that makes me happy to know that parents are starting to listen and ask questions and read the nutrition labels and delve a little deeper other than just taking what's at face value.
Right.
I really like that. And I appreciate that when they use the information, right? And then, you know, they're like, oh my God, you know, my child is actually eating, you know, healthier foods, or they're actually, you know, requesting vegetables at breakfast. So that's exciting for me.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Then what, according to you, are three of some of the most common skepticism that parents have while visiting a nutritionist?
I would say that it's not going to work for my child. Mm. Number one, it's not going to work for my child. Number two, I would say I've tried that already. And because it didn't work within the first 2 weeks or the first couple of days, they become this, you know, discouraged and they don't want to continue.
Right.
And then third would be, I can't eat that or my child won't try that. Mm-hmm. And that goes back to me helping parents understand the reason your child won't try a specific, you know, food or new food is because a mineral is missing. And so I love that I get the opportunity to teach them what a nutritional deficiency is. So when the body doesn't have all of the nutrients, the vitamins and minerals that it, you know, needs to function on a daily basis, yeah, you're going to get, you know, combative responses. You're going to hit a brick wall every time you try to give your child that something more healthy that their digestive system is not used to receiving. Right. And so I teach the parent, you know, we eat with our eyes, our ears, and not just our palate, our nose, our eye, you know. So it's like you have to consider that the child is looking at all of this. Mm-hmm. And so we can feed that with a specific mineral that actually helps them to open up the palate and to become more inquisitive, because by nature, the human is, you know, it's our first instinct to eat, right? So when we first come into the world, right, you're breastfed by your mother or they put some food in your mouth, right? And so, you know, when you get hungry, you eat. But when you're desiring foods that are, you know, not as healthy for the body, that means there is some bad bacteria in the digestive system that is actually winning. And we actually have to transform that. And we can do that by getting more healthy vitamins and minerals in the body. But it's a system. It's a process to do it. It may not happen overnight because the problem didn't surface overnight. Right. And so, you know, certain things have to be done first for 2 weeks, and then we can go in and introduce new foods. So there is a process to how it's done, which is why I have the 6-week program. Right. Why I have the 6-month program, because it's not a quick fix mastermind course that I offer.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't like eggs. When kids tell you that, what do you normally reply?
That's fine that you don't like eggs, because there are other foods that you can get the same nutrition through when you eat them. So you don't have to like eggs. That's fine. There are other alternatives.
Okay. Wonderful. And what are your opinions about plant-based alternates to conventionally produced egg products?
Okay, so here we go. We're going to get into it then. Well, so as it relates to plant-based products, so here are two tips that I always give to anyone who wants to start down the journey of a lifestyle change. I would recommend they look at the ingredients on the back. So this is where the nutrition detective is coming out now. I'm going to just forewarn you. So if you flip the container over and you look at what is in it, if it has a vegetable oil, you're going to put it back on the shelf. But here's the thing. So sometimes vegans, vegetarians, they are okay with getting the canola oil. So canola oil is an inflammatory oil that leads to other issues in the body. So I don't promote consuming any vegetable oils because of it wreaks havoc on the digestive system. It damages new brain cells. It lowers, you know, the immune system. It weakens the, you know, it causes inflammation in the digestive system. And so it's not helping the body. And so because of, you know, people may say, oh, okay, it's a vegetable oil. There's nothing wrong. But in actuality, if we pull it apart, we dissect and we really take a look at what it is, it's not a vegetable. A canola is not a vegetable. Mm-hmm. Canola is actually a made up word from Canada, and ola, the last part, means oil.
Okay.
And so when they created it, it's actually rapeseed oil. And so they couldn't put it on the market, right? Because we got to get into the marketing. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, come get some rapeseed oil. That doesn't sound good. No. So they had to come up with a term for it. So that's how canola oil came about. It's actually rapeseed oil. They say it's a vegetable, but it's not. And here's the thing. If we look at our vegetables, have you ever seen broccoli oil? Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen carrot oil? Those are vegetables. So no, they're not, and then like with soybean oil, the issue is the processing of it. So if you look at how it is processed, how it go, it actually goes rancid first, then they have to bleach it, then they have to put some perfume on it, well, to give it a neutral scent so you don't smell that it went bad, and then they ship it off to the grocery store, and then it sits under these fluorescent lights in the grocery store, and the more light that goes into it and that it is exposed to, the more bad it can become for the body. So my first tip would be to check the labels. If it has vegetable oils in it, find an alternative. Next is the added sugar.
Mm-hmm.
The added sugar also weakens the immune system. So the sugar is, again, damaging the brain cells. It is causing the brain to release the dopamine unnecessarily. It excites the brain over an abundance in terms of what the brain was designed to do. So here's the thing. When you're getting the added or the chemical sugars, they did a test on how the brain reacts on processed or chemical sugars versus, or like aspartame, versus when the body responds and what hormones are released when the person eats a natural fruit. Mm-hmm. Certain things, certain hormones are released in the brain when a chemical sweetener is placed in the body versus when they eat a natural sugar. So nothing at all happens like when to the brain. The brain does not release any hormones when it is, you know, just having a banana or an apple, right? It doesn't release those same hormones like the dopamine, and, you know, it doesn't, you know, start firing off and it overfires, right? So it's exciting. Mm-hmm. And so that's when we see, you know, the child bouncing off the wall, right? Because they're now reacting and responding to these chemical sweeteners. So that's why the added sugars are going to be an issue. So those will be my two biggest things that I want the parents to look for, or even adults, right? No, I'm not specifically on board with each and every vegan product or the vegan egg because it contains the canola oil, which is not great for the body. Also those natural flavors, if it's not clearly stated where that flavor is coming from, then it's most likely a chemical. And so you have to be careful because you don't know how your child's body, how your body is going to process that. So that's my take.
I think we could have a whole episode based on this conversation separately. Yes. Right? It's so much to talk about it, honestly. Yeah. And because this is a conversation that's picking up really fast as a trend also, you know, a lot of people are talking about this whole aspect of it. I think this is very important information to be shared with everyone. Awesome. Yes. Awesome. So that brings us to the end of this quick round of rapid fire. And now we will move into the last question of the show. This is a segment where we take a question from a listener. And this question comes from Sanchita Adhav, who asks, you saw a concern and actioned it with Excellent Breakfast Company. Similarly, there are a lot of moms who seek opportunity to start their own business. Can you share 5 tips for budding mompreneurs on how to start their own setup?
5 tips for moms who want to start their own business. Wow. Number one, define who your target audience is. Mm-hmm. Because you will spend a lot of time and unnecessary money talking to the wrong person. And then understand that everyone is not your target. You cannot be all things to all people.
Right.
So number one, find your target audience. Number two, I would say, understand the service that you want to offer. Because as people come into contact with your service or things that you offer or your products, they will begin to make recommendations. Mm. So understand what you will offer and what you will not offer.
Okay.
So you'll always get, you know, a lot of suggestions. Everyone will have an opinion. Everyone will have suggestions for you. But the most important thing is have a plan, but be flexible. And the person you want to listen to are your clients, mm-hmm. your customers. So your customers, you want to give your customers what they want and not necessarily what you want them to have. So have a plan, be flexible, and give your customers what they want, because they are the ones who are ultimately going to make you successful, help you to be successful. Number three, find yourself a good copywriter.
Okay.
Yeah, a good copywriter. Because if you don't, look, and I won't say that this is in any particular order, because I'm going to say some other things that are essential as well. It really depends on what service you're going into. Because here's the thing, you're going to have to talk to your clients, your prospective clients, customers. You have to say, I mean, like, unless you are a good writer, you have to talk a lot. And so, and you have to write a lot.
Right.
And so sometimes you have to speak the language of your target audience. If you don't speak it, you need to find someone that does and can help articulate what it is that you want to say. And so that helps. And then it helps for you to have someone to bounce and, you know, bounce ideas off of and then brainstorm, which, you know, brings me to my next point. Get a coach, get a mentor. Find someone who has done what you want to do. And either, you know, ask them, you know, get them to mentor you, ask them if they can mentor you, find some blueprints that you can, you know, that you can model and you can, you know, kind of help to guide you, because success leaves clues. And so there's going to be days where you're not going to be sure what you should do, but that's okay, right? So if you have a mentor, you'll have someone who can kind of, you know, help you to get back on course, hold you accountable, help you, you know, bring clarity to your ideas or what you want to do, help you avoid some pitfalls. My goodness. So if someone else can tell you, okay, this is what works with this particular audience. If you can get that kind of crash course and avoid yourself having to go down that road, and, you know, because entrepreneurs, we run out of money quick with ideas.
Right.
Quick. So, yeah. And lastly, I would say, find yourself an accountant, a good accountant, and a good health plan, a good plan to take care of yourself. Yeah. Yeah. So that would be my five.
Nice. Wonderful. And with that, we come to the end of today's show. What a wonderful conversation this has been, Loina. And thank you so much for sharing all the information. I had a great time hosting you. I hope you had your share of good time too.
Yes, it was great.
Great. I wish you and Excellent Breakfast Company more success and growth. And before we go, could you please share your coordinates with the listeners and where someone can get in touch with you or understand a little more about your services?
Yes, absolutely. So I am on Instagram and Facebook. They can find me at Excellent Breakfast Co. So EGGCELLENT Breakfast Co. on Facebook and Instagram. And as far as my free offer that I would love to extend to your listeners, I do have a free 45-minute consultation. They can go to bit.ly/talk2 Loina, capital T and capital L, and they can set up an appointment where we can discuss and see what's going on and see if I'm the right person to actually help them. If not, I can, you know, give a referral to someone else who may, you know, be more in line with what they need. And lastly, my breakfast calendar. So I have a 30-day breakfast calendar with delicious and nutritious recipes that, you know, is just great to add to your breakfast repertoire. If you're running out of ideas on what you can fix, it's great for inspiration. So they can go to bit.ly/breakfast_calendar to download that breakfast calendar.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you so much for your time. And I look forward to chatting with you very soon.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much, Dr. Shin. It's been wonderful.
Thank you so much. Take care. Well, with that, we come to the end of today's show. If you have any questions, you can write to me at thedeliberatetalks@gmail.com. And don't forget to follow us on the social media channels and the audio platforms. Join in next Monday for a new episode with the new guest. And until then, please take care of yourself and don't forget to inspire and be inspired.